We are now 1 week into one of the most captivating American courtroom dramas in a generation, the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Dozens of witnesses have so far taken the stand, providing gripping and at times emotional testimony about the death of George Floyd. This week, we've gotten to know the man, who George Floyd was in life. Yesterday, his girlfriend Courtney Ross took the stand and remembered how they first met at a Salvation Army shelter in 2017. Ross was in the lobby, waiting for her son's father.
He didn't seem to be coming down, so I waited in the lobby. And I wanted to talk to him about our son's birthday. I was pretty upset. And I started kind of fussing in the corner of the lobby. And at one point, Floyd came to me. Floyd has this great, deep, southern voice, raspy. He's like, sis, you okay, sis? And I wasn't okay. I said, no, I'm just waiting for my son's father. He said, can I pray with you? I thought I was so tired. We had been through so much, my sons and I. And this kind person just to come up to me and say, can I pray with you? When I felt alone in this lobby, it was so sweet. And at the time, I had lost a lot of faith in God.
Defense attorney Eric Nelson asked Ross about the couple's addiction to opioids as he continued the defense's strategy of suggesting that Floyd's death could be attributed to his drug use.
Both Floyd and I, our story, it's a classic story of how many people get addicted to opioids. We both suffered from chronic pain. Mine was in my neck and his was in his back. We both had prescriptions. But after prescriptions that were filled and We got addicted and tried really hard to break that addiction many times.
One of the first eyewitnesses to give testimony this week was Darnella Frazier, the teenage bystander who recorded on her cell phone that video that has now been seen around the world. She was asked by prosecutor Jerry Blackwell how that day changed her life.
Would you tell the ladies and gentlemen how your viewing, experiencing what happened to George Floyd has affected your life?
When I look at George Floyd, I look at my dad, I look at my brothers, I look at my cousins, my uncles, because they are all black. I have a black father, I have a black brother, I have black friends. And I look at that and I look at how that could have been one of them. It's been nights. I stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting. And
During cross-examination, defense attorney Eric Nelson tried to characterize another bystander as angry for shouting at Chauvin as the police officer pressed his knee into Floyd's neck. Donald Williams vehemently denied the accusation.
You were angry.
No, you can't paint me out as angry. I was in a position where I had to be controlled, a controlled professionalism. I wasn't angry because I stayed on the curb.
No, Jack is non-responsive.
Overruled.
Natural
stand. Next question.
Thank you. You started calling them names. Yes?
You heard that. Yeah. You heard
right?
the video.
You called him a tough guy, right?
You watched the video.
You called him a real man, right?
You watched the video.
Okay. You do have to answer the question yes or no based on what he's asking.
I'm going to ask you that again, so your answers should be yes or no, okay?
Yes.
You called him a tough guy.
I did.
You called him a real man.
I did.
You called him such a man.
I did.
You called him bogus.
I did.
You called him a bum at least 13 times.
That's what you counted in the video?
That's what I counted.
And that's what you got, 13.
Tensions remained high when Minneapolis firefighter Genevieve Hansen took the stand. She was off duty the day of Floyd's death and witnessed the scene while walking in the neighborhood. She was so combative with the defense attorney that Judge Peter Cahill had to intervene.
Would you describe other people's demeanors as upset or angry?
I don't know if you've seen anybody be killed, but it's upsetting.
Yes, I was just going to object, Your Honor.
As argumentative and proceed.
I'm going to just ask you to answer my questions as I ask them to you, okay?
And then Charles McMillan, the 61-year-old bystander who started sobbing as he watched video of Floyd begging for his life and crying out for his mother.
I know that this is difficult. Can you just explain sort of what you're feeling in this moment?
I feel helpless. I don't have a mama either, but I understand him.
EMT Derek Smith was the first responder who arrived by ambulance and tried to find Floyd's pulse.
So you determined that his pupils were large and dilated. What about a pulse?
I did not palpate a pulse.
And when you say palpate, is that you didn't feel or detect a pulse?
I did not detect a pulse.
And what did his condition appear to be to you overall?
In lay terms, I thought he was dead.
One of the most pivotal moments of the week came from the testimony of Chauvin's supervisor, Sergeant David Pfluger, who's now retired.
Based on your review of the body-worn camera footage, do you have an opinion as to when the restraint of Mr. Floyd should have ended in this encounter?
Yes.
What is it?
When Mr. Floyd was no longer offering up any resistance to the officers, they could have ended the restraint.
And that was after he was handcuffed and on the ground and no longer resisting.
Correct.
Chris Martin, an employee at the store right nearby where Floyd was killed, recalls Floyd's demeanor inside the store. He said they'd talked about baseball. Martin called the police after Floyd allegedly tried to pass him a counterfeit $20 bill for a pack of smokes. And later, he reflected on the store policy and what could have been.
We saw you standing there with your hands on your head for a while, correct?
Correct.
What was going through your mind during that time period?
Disbelief and guilt.
Why guilt?
If I would have just not taken the bill, this could have been avoided.
Key moments from this week's trial of Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis.